We're glad you're with us today. We're going to begin over in John chapter 8 today, the Gospel of John chapter 8. We are a Bible-believing church. Some people ask sometimes, what are you about? We're about the Bible and we're about Jesus Christ. It's pretty much it. It's very simple. If you've ever gone through a museum, you know that you enter at one point and then you go through and you thoughtfully look at the displays and look at this thing and look at that thing. They're highlighting certain things that have happened down through time, which is what history is. And then as you make your way out, not always, but many times you end up kind of where you began. But that's kind of a tour through the museum. Well, I'd like to take you a little bit of a tour through humanity and through history this morning for us to understand a little bit of why we are where we are today as a country, as a world, and as individuals. And then give you, as the title of the message is, the lasting solution to the problems of the world. You might say, is there any answer? Yes, there is. There is an answer. Not everybody will embrace it. Not everybody will believe it. But there is an answer. It is not complicated. But again, it's a matter of the will. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, he said, "And you shall know the truth. You shall come to understand the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then down in verse 36, it says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You shall be free indeed. What is freedom anyway? Well, freedom, really, the word is a synonym for the word freedom is liberty. Liberty, okay? It's a freedom from some sort of a bondage is the idea. It is the capacity or the ability or the opportunity and privilege to choose, okay? Being put in a situation to where now you have the freedom, the liberty to choose which way you will go. Now, while we have the ability to choose, though, we do not have the ability to control the outcome of the choices we make. Once they're made and we choose, then that is in another realm. You can't control that anymore. It's sort of like getting on a roller coaster. You have the freedom to choose to get on that thing, but once you're locked in and it gets moving, guess what? You can think for about 10 seconds, "I wish I wouldn't have done this," but you're going to have to endure it. Remember, it was your choice to get on, right? See, here's the fact. We do not have the ability to control the outcome of the choices, but we have the freedom to make the choices. And that beautiful thing that God has given mankind, a free will, the freedom to choices, it can be a great blessing in your life or it can be a total disaster in your life. See, here's the truth of it. God is over all. This is His world. It is His creation, and He is the one who sets the standards, and He is the one who has implemented something we all know and we've all heard about, the law of sowing and reaping. No one is an exception to the law of sowing and reaping. Doesn't matter how good or bad you look. It doesn't matter how much money or lack of money you have. It doesn't matter your job or your prestige or your position. No, you are subject to the law of sowing and reaping. No one is an exception to that. People think they are, but they are not. Now, today we recognize our veterans, and when they went into the armed forces, they were aware, at least the concept anyway, of what it might cost them, their very lives. I hope that is explained on the front end, okay? I never got through the process to that point. I was at the end of the draft for Vietnam. Back then they had the lottery, and I was number 52 the year that it was in. And so I figured, well, I'm probably going to go. So they sent me the notice to get my physical and so forth. But the Vietnam War was dwindling down, and I didn't have to go to it. So I didn't get far through the process. But I do know this. It is a sobering thing to sign up for the armed forces. And that's why we so want to honor and appreciate our veterans. But they did it. Why did they do it? Well, they did it because they wanted our country to be free and to remain free. That second part, by the way, is just as important, because you can achieve freedom, but freedom is not automatic once you have it. Freedom demands a lot. Our national freedom itself comes with a cost. To maintain our freedom, it takes diligence. It takes right choices. It takes sacrifice. Sacrifice. Today, we honor our veterans, okay? And yes, we honored some who are no longer with us. But we do have a special day for them, right, in May? Memorial Day for those who have given the ultimate sacrifice and those who have passed away. Now, who or what is the great enemy of freedom? You ever thought about that? It may surprise you. The great enemy of freedom is the will of man that is not submitted to the will of God. Let me say it again. The great enemy of freedom is the will of man that is not submitted to the will of God. Why do I say that? Because God knows what is best. Again, there is the principle of sowing and reaping. And if my will is not submitted to his will, the results of that are not going to be good. They're not going to be good. Look at the world in which we are living right now, folks. Think of the war that's going on in the Middle East. And by the way, understand this. It is not a skirmish. This is not a little flare-up over there. This time it is war in the Middle East. Yes, we pray it can stay contained, but it is war in the Middle East. Now, we are doing a series right now on Wednesday nights having to do with tracking everything that's going on over there. We've looked at why it's an issue. We've looked at the foundations and the history of that, and then what God has told us miraculously in his word, in the prophetic word of God in the Old Testament, that he would bring in the last days the nation of Israel back to their land. That's what the text says, their land, their land. And then he would bring them back, but there would be very difficult times ahead for them as a nation. And we're going to be talking about the future, and I believe the near future, of what's going to be happening in the Middle East. And that is, by the way, on Wednesday night. So come, we'd love for you to be here at 6:30 is when that begins. But the war in the Middle East, the protests that we're seeing around the world right now, the battle between Judaism, the battle between a lot of things, and Islam, the religion of the Muslims. Why is there so much conflict? Why is there so much killing? Why is there so many problems? Well, you know why? Because man's will is not submitted to the will of God. Because man does not want God's solution, even though, listen carefully, the only solution there is God's solution. Amen. I make no apologies for that. The only solution for this world is God's solution. And man can try, and he can maneuver, and he can try to outsmart, and he can lie, and he can cheat, and he can steal, and he can kill, and you will not have peace until we line it up with what God has said. Listen, our country, these dear, wonderful United States of America, in the last 100 years, we have experienced amazing prosperity as a nation, like no other nation in the history of the world. That's not hyperbole. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's world history. No nation has prospered like America. We became the greatest country in all of history, but prosperity is difficult to manage. It can easily lead to an independent spirit that drifts away from God. And this, in fact, is one of the lessons of history. When nations come into prosperity, they cannot handle it, and therefore what they do is they get away from God, and they end up getting destroyed, unless, of course, they would get back. As a result, though, in our nation, over time, we have rejected the truth of Scripture more and more, and our problems have increased more and more. No surprise, God says that's the way it works. This is not a coincidence. It's a matter of sowing and reaping. You would think we would learn, but we don't learn. Folks, there is no true freedom outside of knowing and applying the Word of God. You may be here today and you're not a Christian, or you may be, you're here and, you know, for whatever reasons, you're turned off. Or let me say this, okay? What the Bible has to offer is not religion. What the Bible has to offer is the truth that will set you free. It's different. It's not a denomination. It's the truth. And it's the only place where freedom can be found. I want to touch on three things here this morning. All of them are great in their own sense. Number one, we're going to talk about the great deception. The great deception. What is it? Okay. Here is the great deception. By the way, it's not capitalism and it's not liberalism. The great deception is that man can navigate through life and get to heaven through his own ideas. That is the great deception. And folks, we come into this world already deceived on that, because man automatically thinks that he can solve his problems, he has the solution, or if he doesn't have the solution, well, it's easy. He'll just create one. And there, that takes care of it. The truth of it is, it doesn't take care of it. Not at all. Turn with me to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 10. Man cannot navigate through life successfully, and he cannot get to heaven on his own ideas. He thinks that he doesn't need God. And when I talk about God, okay, I'm talking about the God of the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 10, here's this declaration. Jeremiah is speaking it to the Lord, and he says this. He says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." What is he saying? This is a blow to man's ego. This is why people get, quote unquote, turned off, and they come up with all kinds of reasons why. Well, I don't want to go to church. Why don't you want to go to church? All the hypocrites are there. Well, there's room for one more. I'm not a hypocrite. Sure you are. Do you ever do anything wrong? Have you ever done something contrary to what you think things should be or the way people should be? You've done something contrary? I don't think people should be liars. Have you ever lied? Well, yeah. Well, you're a hypocrite. Do you get it? By the way, we're all in the same boat, including me. Not proud of it, but that's the way it is. But you notice what he says. He says, "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." I want to give you a simple phrase this morning that I think kind of sums up where we're at today. And I think you would have to agree with me. Simply put, when mankind is left to himself, he wrecks everything. And that is the great lesson of world history. When mankind is left to himself, he wrecks everything. This is the great deception, that man can do it on his own, that man can handle it, that man has the answers. Man does not have the answers. And I think the track record proves it. Secondly, because man doesn't have the answers, he gets deceived into thinking that he does. He makes a mess of things, which leads us to number two, the great destruction. The great destruction, in other words, the results of a life without God. Let's break this down into two subpoints, okay? The first one is this: nationally, talking about our country. We are witnessing this literally every day. In Proverbs chapter 14, we have the eternal principle in Proverbs 14, verse 34, it says this: "Righteousness," God defines that, by the way, "righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." For our nation to be exalted, to be blessed by God, it's going to take righteousness. In other words, we need to embrace the principles of God's word as far as what is right, what is wrong, and we need to adopt those as a nation. It is amazing to me that we live in a day to where elections are won or lost based on abortion, pro-choice, pro-life, so to speak, all right? Just recently, they say the big issue that won it for Democrats, is pro-choice. In other words, you would actually vote for somebody because you think you should be able to kill a baby in the womb, and that is an issue that determines how you're going to vote. Folks, we have serious problems in our country. The Bible teaches life from conception. That is what the Bible teaches, okay? We are pro-life here in our church. Why? Not because that's just something we decided. We believe it because it's in the Bible. All right, that is why. Now, you might say, well, I disagree with that. Well, you can, but remember, you're disagreeing with what God says about it. This is what the Bible says about this. There's many other areas. But nationally, we are witnessing this every day. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 9, verse 17. God doesn't mince words. Look what he says in Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Can I tell you, folks, we have been on a downward trend in our nation to forget God. How do I know that? Because of the disdain for the Word of God in our public school system. You can have everything else. They're teaching all kinds of other religions in a public school system. But what about Christianity? Oh, no, separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. Well, number one, using that phrase is taking it out of context for why it was said to begin with. But listen, you can't argue the case that we're not falling apart as a nation. We are. And the world is not getting better either. Well, I'm just an optimist, okay? Let me tell you something. Things aren't going to get better just because we're optimists. The only way they're going to get better is when we embrace what God says will bring better. And by the way, that is what he wants. He does not want people to be miserable. He does not want people killing each other. Personally, I want to speak to each of us individually. To live in rebellion to the plan of God, the Word of God, all right? To live in rebellion to the principles of God's Word, remember, it's not in man to direct his steps. We don't have the answers. Therefore, at best, if we don't know what they are, at best, we may be able to guess things. But the problem is guessing things. Wouldn't it be better to just have something in black and white that we can follow? Yes, it would. To live in rebellion towards God is to suffer the consequences of those choices. So what do you end up with? Can I tell you what you end up with? You end up with addictions. You end up with broken homes. You end up with every abuse you can imagine. You end up with perversions of all sorts. You end up with killing the unborn. You end up with so-called confusion about gender. There's no confusion. There's no confusion. Just look at yourself. But see, folks, is this not the things that are being taught today? We like our own ideas. And we think every idea is of equal value? No. This is the standard. Senseless drive-by shootings, senseless beatings in the subways of America and on the streets of America, where you can't even go at night now in many parts of our country, out at night because of fear. The innocent are fearful and the criminals are bold. How did we get here? We got here because we have forsaken the principles of the Word of God. This is why. Senseless drive-by shootings, beating, hatred. Here's one that we would have never thought it would get to this level. Anti-Semitism. Folks, it is alarming what is going on right now. Listen, in Europe, in certain places, they're going and they are spray painting Stars of David on the sides of houses where Jewish people live. That is exactly what went on with the Holocaust. We need to stand up and say, this is wrong to do this. You might say, well, yeah, but they're occupiers, okay? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we're doing it on Wednesday nights. Come out on Wednesday night. The Jewish people are not occupiers. God gave them that land all the way back to almost 2000 BC. He gave it to them. So they're not the occupiers. But anyways, it is wrong. But why is it happening? Again, think the big picture. Why is it happening? It is happening because people will not believe what God says. If everybody would say, okay, we're going to believe God, then guess what there would be? Harmony. Just like that, there would be harmony. Turn with me to John chapter 8. It is not God's will that anyone end up with a destroyed life. That is not the way God is. God wants us to enjoy life, have his blessings in life. But when we go our own way, unfortunately, we end up paying a price. John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." In other words, so to the level that we violate the word of God, we become servants in that. We become enslaved to that. That's not the way God would have it to be. And the end result of that, by the way, is death. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's Satan. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. Look what Jesus said, though. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Can I ask you this, dear friend, today? Is your life falling apart? I want you to know God loves you and he wants to put it back together. That's his heart. He cares about you. He cares about me. And he's given us solutions to these things that we are facing. One solution in particular, which leads us to our last point today, the great solution. So what is the lasting solution to the problems of the world? Well, it is eternal salvation found only in Jesus Christ. There are no solutions outside of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, isn't that kind of narrow-minded? I'm just agreeing with what Jesus said in John 14, 6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Pretty narrow. Pretty narrow. Four absolutes there. I am the way, not a way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way to heaven. It's what he said. It's not this preacher. This is what God in the flesh, who cannot lie, said, and it is true. There is no solution outside of Jesus Christ, but what does mankind keep doing? Mankind keeps trying to find band-aids to put over the problems of life. Jesus Christ offers a permanent solution, all right? And here's the best news of all. It is a gift. It is a gift. It is perfect for eternity, and it is perfect for life now. What do I mean for eternity? Well, let me show you this over in Romans chapter 6. You cannot find a greater contrast than what you find in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6, 23, it says this, "For the wages of sin is death." Wow, that's a powerful statement. The wages, the penalty, the payment for sin is death. Destruction, separation from God. In light of eternity, separation from God forever. The wages of sin is death. Are we sinners? Yes, we are. God says our sin has to be paid for. There's a penalty that goes with it. And I'll show you the solution in just a moment. The wages of sin is death, but the word, great word of contrast, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that? The gift of God is eternal life. What do you mean? Are you saying that? Are you telling me that heaven's a gift? Yes. Yes, that's exactly what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 puts it this way, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Remember, it is not in man to direct the steps. Man doesn't have the answer. Not of yourselves. It's not something, getting to heaven's not something we can do, we can achieve. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Verse 9, "It's not of works, lest any man should boast." You can't earn your way to heaven. It's faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you that gets you to heaven. Good works won't save. Possibly you may not be aware of that today. Maybe you've never heard that before. I had never heard it until I was 19 years old. Somebody finally got it through my brain, and I saw it, and it made sense to me. He explained why I couldn't earn my way to heaven. Can I take a couple minutes here to explain that to you as well? I love this illustration because it made it clear to me. I figure if I can understand it, anybody can understand it. Let's pretend that this left hand represents you and me, and I'm going to let my wallet represent all the things we do wrong. God calls the things we do wrong sin. You want to know why the world is in the mess it is today? It's because of sin. Here we are. We are all sinners. And when man does what he wants to do, okay, and he makes wrong choices, if they're contrary to the word of God, God calls it sin, violating the word of God. God says, here we are, we're sinners, yet the Bible says God loves us. In spite of our sin, God loves us, he hates our sin. But our sin separates us from God. You can't get to heaven with your sin. Heaven, it says in Revelation, heaven is a place, it'll be sinless place. No sin can dwell there. Therefore, for me to get in, I have to be sinless in the eyes of God. Well, wait a minute. I'm a sinner. Therefore, I'm separated from God. Well, how's that going to get fixed? Not only am I separated from God, but he says this. Your sin has to be gone for you to get into heaven. It has to be gone before you die. Because if you die with your sin, you'll have to pay for it forever. Suffer for it in hell. And God doesn't want that for us. But mankind thinks, as I've already touched on, that there's something you can do by behaving yourself that'll take it away. God says, no, the only payment is death. I say, well, wait a minute. If heaven's perfect and I'm not, and I can't get rid of my sin, and if I die with my sin, I'm lost forever, that's really troubling. And it is. But the wages of sin is death, yes, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You notice it says through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you get the gift? It's through Jesus Christ our Lord, what he's done. Because there's nothing we could do to save ourselves, God himself came to earth. Jesus, God in the flesh, the sinless Son of God. And when Jesus went to the cross, he took our sin upon himself and he died. So we don't have to die. He died and he paid the penalty that needs to be paid for so that we don't have to. He shed his blood, he died, was buried, he came back from the dead. And here's what he says in his word. If you will believe in him, if you'll put your faith in him, that he made that payment for your sins, past, present, and future, all your sins. If you trust in him as the one who died for your sins, and rose again, he'll give you as a gift everlasting life. When you believe, the payment he made is good on your behalf, and all your sin is gone. It's forgiven. It's sent away when you believe. Now, you can know what I just said, but you don't believe it. You still have the mindset, no, I think it is in me to direct myself. No, I think I do have the answer. No, I don't buy that. I think I can do it on myself. You know, I'm a self-made man or woman, person. I'm a self-made they. The insanity abounds, right? I wonder what's next with all this kookiness. Friend, there's nothing we could do to earn our way to heaven. That's why Jesus came. He died in our place, paid our debt so we don't have to, and offers us eternal life. He rose from the grave to prove it was done. And he offers us eternal life. Does that make sense to you? That's what he's done for you. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you are born then into his family. He gives you everlasting life. How long is everlasting? Everlasting life is everlasting. The gift of God is eternal life, eternal, everlasting, same word. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no other way to heaven but him. Trust in him as your Savior. The moment you do, him and him alone, he will give you as a gift eternal life. You might say, okay, then what about once I've trusted Christ the Savior? Well, he is also the answer for life. Just like we trusted him as Savior, now he wants us to trust him as our shepherd. You're familiar with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That means we are sheep. By the way, that's not a compliment. If you know anything about sheep, they're bad. I had to do it. I just had to do it. Some of you have heard it before and you were waiting for that. I am talking about the while we are still alive on this planet, the here and now. God has left us his word, which is the operating manual for our lives. And it's a love gift. This book is a love gift, okay? It is not a rule book to keep us from having fun. No, it's a love gift. It's instructions to keep us from messing it up and to enjoying the blessings of God in this life. That's where his heart is. You might say, how do you know that's where God's heart is? Because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was willing to sacrifice his son so we can live with him forever in heaven. In John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. There were some, as he was speaking, some believed his message. They trusted him as Savior. And he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. The word disciple means a learner. You're learning. You're letting me be your teacher. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you what? Not miserable. That's what the world, see, that's the great deception. Oh, to follow biblical principles in life, that'll make you miserable. You'll miss out on all the fun. No, you miss out on all the misery. Our God is a great God. He's a loving God. He's the one true God. And he loves us. And he wants us to be his children. And he wants us to learn his will for us. Well, what if once you trust Christ as Savior, let's say you mess it up or you do sin afterwards. You will. We all do. But remember, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all of our sins. Once we're his children forever. If we choose a path of rebellion, he'll work in our lives to try to bring us back in line, but he'll never lose us. He'll never cast us out. Once you're saved forever. God, an eternal God, does not give birth to temporary children. If he gives you everlasting life and you can do something to where that stops, it was never everlasting to begin with. Because everlasting means what? Everlasting. Isn't that beautiful? In this time of the year, folks, Thanksgiving, we're thinking of Thanksgiving, and you're going to have a great Thanksgiving feast in a couple minutes. So, Pastor, will you get done? It says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, I just love the simplicity of Scripture. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You might say, well, if it's unspeakable, how can you say it? The word unspeakable means indescribable. There are not words to describe it. It's awesome. So, what is the lasting solution to the problems of this world? It is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then once you're saved, not to be saved or stay saved, but once you're saved, then to apply his word to your life and you will experience inner freedom, not misery, inner freedom. And you know what, folks? If the entire world was on that page, there would be peace and there would be joy. The fighting would stop. The killing of one another would stop. Families would be put back together. Lives would be saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If you've not trusted in Jesus Christ the Savior, would you do that today? He's offering you the gift of eternal life. Please don't turn it down. Again, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about an eternal relationship with God himself through faith in Jesus Christ. You need salvation. We all do. And God will give it to you if you'll trust in Christ. Well, friends, that concludes this edition of Voice of Assurance. Thanks so much for listening. And would you share this ministry with a friend? To contact us or learn more about our ministry, please visit www.northlandchurch.com. Your prayers and support for this ministry are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and God bless you.